Quick question. When was the last time that you actually looked at your website and thought, this is really working for me? If the answer is you're not sure, don't worry because you're not alone. Most therapists have a website, but they don't actually know what's helping it to convert, what might be confusing potential clients, and what might actually be turning people away. That's exactly why a website audit is so helpful because it can give you a clear outside perspective on what's actually happening when someone lands on your website. So I'm hosting a live website audit workshop April 17th, where I will walk you through what to look for, look at your website live, talk about what to fix, and how to make your website actually work for you. To learn more and sign up, head to the show notes to register. Now, onto the episode. You're listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Comegys, a licensed clinical social worker with a multi-state online therapy practice. I have a passion for empowering women and mom therapists to break free of the fear, overwhelm, and oppressive systems that hold them back from taking action and building the private practice of their dreams. My goal is for you to boldly believe in yourself as a clinician and business owner. If you're looking for a place to learn practice building strategy and skill while also claiming your own power as a woman and a therapist, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Hey, listeners, welcome to this week's episode of the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm joined today by my guest, Shayna Longstreet. Shayna is the founder, designer, and contagious laugh behind Dawn and Delight Creative, a design studio based on the belief that you are your own biggest differentiator. She has a passion for holding space for the space holders as they work together to match her clients' online visuals with the caliber of work they do in the world using her identity-led branding method. It's been said that mood boards are her superpower. When she's not creating custom brands and Squarespace websites or swooning over color palettes, you'll find her singing along to her favorite playlists, drinking coffee like it's water, and wondering if we tried exploding other vegetables to see if it made them better, or did we just stop at corn? If you are looking to ditch the DIY, finally feel like your brand and website represent who you are and the power of what you do, and feel confident sharing, serving, and selling, then Shayna is the designer for you. Welcome to the show, Shayna.
Thank you so much. I love that popcorn joke.
As I was reading, I was like, wait a second, did I say the wrong word? I'm like, oh no, that's
nope,
right.
That's right.
I see where this is going. All right. Shayna and I were chatting before we hit record, and we like known each other through the interwebs for a little while because I was part of Marissa Lawton's program. Then Shayna came on board as part of that program after I had left, but I still had the benefit of getting to work with her as part of one of the alumni from Marissa's program. So this is the first that like we've actually interfaced and worked. Like you've done some back-end stuff on my website and stuff, but this is the first time that we're actually connecting. So I'm so glad to get a chance to chat with you today.
Yeah. Being part of Marissa's program as like the design coach inside of it and providing the templates and feedback and everything for her students has just been such an honor. So I'm glad to get to meet you and that we have that connection.
Yeah, absolutely. So I always start by asking guests to share a little bit about how did you get to where you are in your world of creating and supporting the space holders? How did you get here? I think each of us have such different stories. I know you're not necessarily a mental health professional, but right. You support mental health professionals. But I always think it's so interesting where like we have different journeys and different stories, but there's oftentimes just like common threads that so many of
absolutely.
Us have. So share with listeners kind of how did you get into this work that you do?
Yeah. When I talk to my clients about it, I'm always like, tell me your origin story, you know, like, so my origin story is, when I first became an entrepreneur, I actually started out as a photographer. Mm-hmm. And so from behind my camera, I got to work with people one-on-one, get to see who they are and then like truly capture them. And I felt myself stepping into this role of space holder from behind the camera and holding space for them. Well, they were like coming alive for the first time in front of my camera and then getting to see themselves in a new way because of me being the one behind the camera viewing them, you know? So it was a really unique take on engaging with people as a photographer. And I just loved doing that work, seeing them for like big moments in their life, right?
Yeah.
Celebrations, their relationships, their families growing, telling their story. And so I really fell in love with that and how it felt to give and serve in that way. But I live in a tiny little town in central Washington, surprisingly full of photographers.
Interesting.
So, yes, it's like, really? Okay. So it left me with very little opportunity to do the work that I love because I was just, you know, there's only 8,000 people that live in this town and an abundance of photographers that they're choosing from. So it was a struggle to like make a real go of it, you know? And so at that point, I actually signed up for my very first online course. And one of the first sections in that course had you list out all of your different skill sets. And then it was like, which of these skill sets could you monetize? And I had, you know, years of experience in graphic design, in high school. And then also my first job out of high school was at a scrapbook store.
Oh.
And so I had this like, you know, design from that perspective as well, you know, like pairing patterns and stickers with pictures, like it's its own design, right? I still use so many of those things I learned from my scrapbooking days in my design now. But so in the course of that like first module, I was like, whoa, I can actually help more people and expand my impact if I focus more on my skills beyond photography. And so I made this shift to create a design business instead of a photography business, basically. So I just, you know, dove straight in, and I didn't get any like I didn't go to college for design or anything like that. I'm all completely self-taught. But what I started to see as I really got into the industry and everything, you know, from other designers and like what's being taught as the norm, it really felt counterintuitive for me. And it's this idea of when you're starting to brand something or starting a website design, you first think about who is your ideal client? And everybody seems to start from there. And then you like pick, oh, well, they'll like these colors or they'll like this kind of design or they'll be attracted to this. And I'm like, that doesn't feel right in my gut, you know? Like,
sure.
And so as I built and grew my own business and then worked with other people to build and grow theirs, I developed my own approach, which is this identity-led branding approach, because I truly believe that the best brands are built by starting with our identity first. And if we start with who we are and pair who we are with the work that we do in the world, then that's going to really attract the ideal client to us because we're the thing that they're being drawn to. You know, it's not some mask we're putting on that we think is what they're going to want to see. Right. And then, then there's like this incongruence that would happen when they're actually working with you. If who you are isn't built into what your brand is portraying, you know what I'm saying?
Which I think is a really interesting take because I feel like, And those that are in the mental health field, like they'll get what I'm about to say is that we are taught from the get-go, like whether you go to school as a social worker, counselor, psychology, like the idea is that we are this blank slate and that our self like stops at the door and it is all about the client and there's zero self-disclosure and whatever is going on in our life and our world doesn't exist. And so I think it's interesting the approach you're taking where it's completely flipping that. You know, it's not saying like I'm thinking more specifically like with a therapy business versus like, you know, a different type of, you know, business, maybe even in like coaching or something like that. But even with like a therapy, you know, practice, that it still has to be us, or it doesn't have to be, but like that's where we can still shine through. We can still have our identity be the brand.
Yeah. And like your clients are going to be looking into your eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to become the safe space for them. You're holding space for them. They have to trust you.
Right.
And so if they're, you know, if they go to Psychology Today, type in their, you know, zip code, they're going to get however many therapists. What's going to be the thing that makes them pick you?
Right. Right.
Those are the types of things that we should be thinking about when designing a brand.
There's a colleague, and she actually was a guest on this show a little while back, that her practice's brand is like The Office, because that is the like
where they come. Her.
She's like, yeah. She's like, and it's like the therapy office, the, you know, just like from the TV show. And it's unique. And it's not like, oh, this is what the client likes. She's like, this is me. This is my personality. Like, this is what I, you know, I enjoy. And I think it's a clever. Really unique. Exactly. Exactly. And that, like, you know, from the get-go, oh, this person probably has a sense of humor, right? That it's not this, you know, cookie cutter, cut and paste that like so many websites have. But it's a really unique, it's
memorable too. It's really memorable. Yeah.
Yeah.
I completely agree. And we see, you know, as somebody who works in websites, I have seen some therapy websites, you know, and like, I couldn't tell you the difference between them. They all have, same, like, person staring off into the sunset, the top of their homepage, or like the hand on the heart classic photo with no face, you know? And when people are searching, that it's just going to look the same, and it's going to look bland, and it's going to not resonate. And those are not the feelings we want people to have when they come to our website.
Right. You work with, you know, those of us that are space holders, right? Like, we're holding space for individuals, you know, whether it is mental health support or coaching support in other ways. What have you found to be challenging in working with us? Because, like I said, I know that, like, there is, can be this resistance where we're like, I don't know if I want to
put myself show this,
or am I allowed to do that? Like, what have you found or seen? And I'm asking this because this is a blind spot we have. So, like, I'm really interested to hear what you see for us in this field. Like, what are our biggest obstacles to that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's twofold. The first thing that came to my mind when you asked the question is you have too many words on your website. Therapists, at like, especially people who have, you know, PhDs and are, you know, you are highly educated. You've spent a lot of time working to get you where you are. And a lot of time in academia. And so a thing I see over and over again is that you're way too wordy on your websites. And that's, I mean, we can have a lot of words on a site, but we need to design intentionally around it. So it's not like walls of text that people are scrolling through, because the majority of people do not read nobody is ever going to read all of the words on your website. Just like, we have to admit that to ourselves.
Right.
We're going to spend so much time on this, but nobody is ever going to read all the words.
Right.
But if we can, with design and intentional copywriting, make the most important words stand out, so that you're the people who are visiting your site, so that their hearts are touched and they see themselves in the people that you help and how, you know, how your process is, that's going to be the most impactful. So if you take nothing else from our conversation today, go chop the words on your website down by at least half, please. And put some like different sizes of fonts in there, like bold, important words, so that the skimmers see the important pieces on your website. The other thing that came to mind with, like, what's a therapist blind spot when coming to into a branding or website design, is exactly that point you were saying, the like, hiding behind the licensure, right?
Yeah.
Not stepping forward into, like, this is also a business. you are also a business owner. You are also an online entrepreneur. And especially in the times that we live in, right? At post-COVID, so many had to go to like telehealth and doing virtual appointments and things like that. And so the online space is a part of it now.
Yeah.
And so you have to take that into account. Like, think about what's your marketing. Even if I hear this a lot, I get all my clients as referrals, right?
Yeah.
So I don't need to worry about outward marketing. I get all my clients from referrals. Even if you're getting a referral, that I guarantee you that person's going to Google you.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
And so if you, all you have is a flat page website you put up in 2012 that has your name and your contact info, they're going to be like, thank you, next.
Right.
And so even if you're not necessarily selling or booking appointments from your website, it still is a key in establishing your credibility. And as like an actual person who's taking on clients currently in 2024.
Right.
And it gives them an opportunity to like look into your face and see, do I vibe with this person? Those are some things I see as hurdles for therapists in particular approaching branding and website design.
We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/comp connecting. As a therapist, business owner, and a mom, managing your business finances effectively is crucial. That's where Bank Novo comes in. Bank Novo isn't just a bank account, it's your partner in growth. With free checking and a range of features tailored to small businesses like yours, like no hidden fees or minimum balances, Bank Novo makes managing your finances simple and stress-free. But what truly sets Novo apart is its compatibility with the Simple Profit method. Whether you're just starting out or looking to streamline your financial processes, Bank Novo seamlessly integrates with Simple Profit, helping you track expenses, managing invoices, and maximizing your profits effortlessly. And for listeners of this show, when you sign up for a free Bank Novo account at bit.ly/NovoAshley and enter the referral code AshleyComages, all one word, after making a $100 deposit, you'll receive $40 as a sign-up bonus. Yep, you heard that right, $40 just for taking control of your finances with Bank Novo. So fellow therapists, take the next step towards financial empowerment. Join me in choosing Bank Novo and unlock the financial tools you need to thrive in your practice.
So when you think of like identity-led branding, like what does that mean per se? Because, you know, in my mind, I have a couple different thoughts of what that would be. But like, this is your baby, your
my baby
design.
Yeah. Trademark. So like,
exactly. So
yeah,
what does that exactly mean?
Yeah. So what we're doing in my process is creating visual elements from the things that you value. So we're going to talk about business values. We're going to talk about personal values. We're going to think about your unique life experiences and how that informs the choices you've made to do this work in the first place. Mm-hmm. Or like what additional modalities you're wanting to learn. All of those sorts of things. And then interpreting them visually into tangible elements that you can then like put on your website or put on your Instagram feed or use in your emails that you send out. So I have a client that I just finished working with. And prior to working with me, she had two separate websites and two separate businesses. So she had her people that she saw in therapy, which she takes in her state, right? Because that's where she's licensed.
Yeah.
And then she also had more coaching side of her business, where she did things like dream interpretation and Enneagram work and like more intensive style thing. And she just felt so split because it was like, where do I spend my time? Where do I put my effort in like marketing this? And like, sometimes she'd get inquiries for therapy that weren't a good fit for that, but they would have been a good fit for these other things that she offers. Sure. And so we were able to combine it under this new Root Grow Thrive label. And so instantly you kind of get a feeling of, you know, earth groundedness.
Yeah.
This like helping someone process something, churn under the ground and then sprout and grow. So even just the name she chose for her business already gives us an insight into the types of visuals we'd be using.
Yeah.
And then from there, we were able to use that like Root Grow Thrive inside of her services, like how she packaged her services. She even has a quiz that lets you self-identify and see, are you in a root phase, are you in a grow phase, or you were in the thrive phase?
Interesting.
And then she is like, here's my services, how I can help you if you're in each of these phases, right? So we have a lot of like collage-y elements in her brand. And we have a lot of like, she had an amazing photo shoot done where she was out in nature in the fall. So like trekking through the leaves and like lots of trees and lots of just earthy, nature-y vibes, right? And so that was how we took the things that made her approach unique and turned them into visuals that she could actually use. So it was pulled from her identity and then interpreted for the front-facing part of her brand.
Yeah, yeah. Which, I mean, I love that. Again, it just aligned is the word that I'm hearing, and that like there's still these different parts, right? There's these different pieces, but that she's not having to figure out like what hat am I wearing or operating in today.
Exactly. And it also reduces a lot of the decision fatigue that I see online business owners struggling with. You know, like going to Canva to figure out what graphic I want to post today, and it's like, what font do I use? Which color do I use? And without a really solid brand that they can, you know, wrap their head around and use with confidence, those sorts of things take so much more time than they need to. That's one of my big gifts I love to give, is that reduction in decision fatigue, because these are your fonts, these are your colors, this is the elements you use over and over to build brand consistency and brand awareness. And so then like every single client touch point gets infused with those little details, and then it feels like a congruent experience for anybody interacting with you. So the ones that find you on Psychology Today will click over to your website, and then they'll like click to book a consult, and the email they get has the same feel, you know, and then they'll like check you out on Instagram, and that feels the same. That's my heart behind identity-led branding and why I'm so passionate about it, because the right people are going to be attracted to it because you're the key differentiator. You're what makes your approach different.
No, and I think that's such a good point, because, you know, I know like when I was starting off in my individual practice, I experienced this. And when I have worked with other women in starting their own therapy practices, it is this whole, what's different about me, or like almost kind of like making myself smaller of like, well, I don't know, they're going to want to work with me because that other person already sees this type of client, right? So like, I'd really like to work with those clients, but am I going to be able to get referrals? And this was actually one of the things that like I took away, you know, in a big way from my work with Marissa, is that people are going to work with you because they want to work with you, and that you could have two people doing the exact same thing, right? But that how you position yourself, and I don't mean that in like, you know, what am I doing to make myself seen differently, but how you position yourself because of who you are, right? Your lived experiences,
Yeah.
your life experiences, not all the extra credentials and training and stuff, but just who you are in your style and approach, like the things that are like natural about you that you don't have to think, like, you know, I'm more, have a more laid back approach with my clients, or I, you know, operate from this type of methodology, and you know, whatever it is, people are going to want to work with you because of who you are. And
Yeah.
So that, yeah, leaning into that identity branding is helps to align that, I would guess, you know, just as a way that, like, again, you could have two people doing the exact same thing, but it's going to look very different simply because of who person A is and who person B is.
Yeah, absolutely. I love to talk about branding as like a jacket, you know, and your brand shouldn't feel like a jacket that doesn't quite fit right. You know, like something you put on just because someone else told you, oh, that style is good on you, or that color looks good on you, and that's attractive on you.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't fit right, you're not going to show up with confidence in that outfit. No way. You're going to always be fidgeting, pulling at the sides of your jacket, pulling at the arms, you know, not sitting comfortably, not presenting with as much confidence as you could have if that was your favorite jacket.
Right.
That gives a completely different air. Is if you put on your favorite jacket, you are showing up. And you, as a therapist, as a space holder, you are showing up with all of yourself for your clients. And so if you could bring that same energy and that same intention and attention to your brand, imagine how powerful that shift could be.
So I think this is a perfect segue into this, like, as we were, I was thinking about our conversation for today, one of the things I really wanted to kind of get your take on is, as women, this idea of identity branding, because I see this in our profession, and I see this, like, there's a lot of women in our profession compared to men, but I don't see men questioning their positioning in the same way that I see us women do so often. And my theory is we are taught from a young age to make ourselves smaller, right? Like, you don't want to stand out too much. You don't want to be, you know, seen as a troublemaker. You don't want to
don't call attention to yourself.
Yes.
Don't be a bother.
Exactly. And then you couple that message that we have gotten our whole lives from society, from family, from friends, from teachers, couple that with this profession that we are in that also says you need to make yourself really small and that your needs don't matter. Clients' needs come first, right? Like, you know, quote unquote, you didn't go into this for the money, right? Like, it's not about you.
Yeah.
And so then I think that gets even more muddled with, like, what part of me am I bringing into this business? Because I think you said earlier, you aren't just a therapist or a practice owner or a space holder. You are also a business owner. And that we hear this all the time. We were not taught that in school. And that is a part that I think we struggle to lean into, that is a part of our identity too.
Exactly.
If we're going
That's
into
what I was going to say. Yeah. Maybe this is a new title that you need to claim for yourself, business owner.
Yes. Yeah. I personally found so much strength and empowerment, and I feel like shifted a lot for me in how I see myself when I did claim that part.
Yeah.
That, like,
yeah.
Oh, wait a second. Like I did this. I created this. I made, you know, this business, that this is my thing. And it is an identity that I have created for myself. Nobody else
How
has.
Cool is that?
Yeah.
How cool is that? You know,
yeah.
I think a lot about the legacy that we're building, this generation of female online entrepreneurs. We're the first ever women to build businesses like these.
Yeah, you're right.
And I just got goosebumps saying that.
Yeah.
But, like, thinking about future generations who are going to look back on us at this time and just be blown away by what we created.
Yeah.
And that legacy is shared by all of us. We all have a hand in it. And so if that could be the difference maker in your mind for you to show up with more confidence in your business, then awesome, because it's a powerful legacy that we're building right now.
No, I got I got goosebumps as you were talking about that. You know, I have a daughter now, and like, as you were saying that, I'm like, oh wow, like this is, I never have thought of my business as like, this is something like for her to learn from, or like to see her mother do. And like, even at my boys, right, to see like me do this, that like I own a business, I run two businesses, right? That like, it's showing
a big deal. Totally, like our mothers could never even comprehend.
No, they still like can't.
Yeah, my mom's like, I don't know what she does.
Right? No, it's so true. Our parents' generation are the generation that you go to school for one thing, you go and get that job, and you stay in that job for
work till retirement.
I mean, I saw like it's a story for another time, but my parents went through about 15 years ago, a shift in their own work that they had to take a pivot and stuff. And it was like a real identity crisis for my mom at the time of what am I supposed to do? And it's like, well, you could take these skills and use it into this other thing. And it was just interesting to like watch from the outside that like there was this real struggle of like, you could use those same skills and do something else, because it was just this mindset of you do this one thing. And as I'm sitting here like thinking about like my family, there's a lot of women in my extended family, and there are multiple women in my family of my generation who we are in the entrepreneurial space, whereas the generation before us, that was not anything. You get the safe, secure job, and you
work
stay
at the bank or be the secretary or work at the reception desk.
Whatever it is, but it's safe, secure, you stay there till you retire.
And that's where this messaging of make yourself as small and as helpful as possible comes from. And now with the introduction of the internet and the fact that we can literally work with anybody else anywhere in the world, has just opened up it's a whole new world of space holding and giving and investing in others with our skill sets and also making some money.
You know, and there's nothing wrong. And not being afraid to say that I want to do that.
Like providing for our families, but still having enough capacity to be with our families in ways that we want. Like, our mothers could never have imagined something like that.
Right. And I think that's important for us to like take into account too, like when we think about that identity and like how we're branding ourselves too, because like, again, it's not necessarily that I'm have my children with me while I'm working. Like, I can't do that. But it's this fact that, like, I am creating this life to be able to do things differently for my family than if I was working for somebody else. Like, I couldn't do the things for my family that I do. And so leaning into that part of the identity for me, you know, helps in positioning myself, I think, in my therapy work, but also just in the work that I do supporting other therapists as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a gift you're giving to yourself and to your family.
Yeah. Are there any like key things if someone's like, okay, like this is a new concept for me, I get it, I'm on board, like how do I start envisioning this? Like, are there things that like people should start thinking about, or places to kind of start envisioning, like what does this mean when they're trying to create this identity, you know, branding?
Yeah, I actually have it as the freebie on my website. Because I think it really is like such a key point when you're like, yes, I buy into this idea, but where do I even start? Right?
Yeah.
And so I created a workbook that's called Discover Your Deepest Why. And that's the first place I start with my clients as well, to get to the heart of why you've chosen this profession in the first place. What moved you to want to be a space holder? What are the values that guide the decisions that you make? In the workbook, it kind of goes like, okay, answer this question, and then, but why? And then answer that, and then, but why? Yeah. And then we really go as deep as we can to get to that like nugget of truth that's in our deepest hearts about what our motivation is. And then that gets to be the guidepost that we put in line for when we're building out the visuals. Because it's all it can always be like, well, what is my biggest, deepest value? So for instance, one of my biggest values is connection. And so my favorite way to visually interpret the idea of connection is the ampersand, which is the and symbol.
Yeah.
And in its definition, the word ampersand is the linking of two things forever to be combined. And so I am striving for that kind of connection with my clients, with the work that I get to do and how I help other people. And so I've got the ampersand in my logo, and I sprinkle the ampersand in fun ways, you know, like on my social and my website, you know? And so that's one of those, like the way that my, one of my deepest values shows up visually for my brand. So that's just kind of like a little use case idea, but that, deepest why workbook is really a great place to start, because a lot of times we can get into, you know, spending so much time working in our business that we never work on our business, right? And so to like take some time and step back from being in the work of doing the work and really reflect and think about why you started in the first place and what your motivations are. And maybe that legacy piece is a piece of it for you. And then those things can then be transformed into the visual side of how your brand shows up. I know personally, like from experience, the difference that this can make, because when I started my design business, I had a completely different name, completely different vibe. And, you know, as one does, you kind of get your sea legs, spending more time doing the work. And, you know, going back to that, I just felt like how normal design was done wasn't quite right. It didn't feel right in my gut. And so I took a step back and started with my deepest why and what my hope for connection could mean for my business. And that's when I came up with the new name, Dawn and Delight Creative. And it was just like a breath of fresh air blew through the place. And things just like clicked together. The colors made sense. That what I was communicating with the fonts made more sense. I got a new brand photo shoot. And so then it's like picking actual outfits that, you know, make you feel confident and help you show up different, you know? So those things are so important. And I know from experience what that shift can feel like. And it just like changed how I work with my clients. It changed how I show up for my own marketing and my own business. So I want to, you know, share this approach with as many people as I can, because I know it's a game changer.
As someone who has created a brand and shifted and pivoted, and then also like started from scratch, like I feel like there can be definitely like two different levels of intimidation.
Yes.
With either of them. But like if for someone has like, oh, I've done the work, I have already like created some of this, but it just doesn't feel right. What can you say to encourage them to like not be afraid to like look at rebranding? Sounds like, I mean, it's what it is. It sounds like really scary in some ways.
I love the results that this work gets for my clients. Because I see them show up so much differently. And when you're able to harness who you are with the work that you do and the caliber of the work that you do, something just shifts. And you're able to step into showing up online differently, serving clients with more confidence, and like really making the impact on the world that you were born to make. That all can happen with so much more ease and so much more joy when your brand is aligned with who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. It flows easier.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
You're not second guessing yourself and you're not like, oh, watercolor logos aren't trendy anymore. I need to get a new one off Etsy, you know?
Right.
You're not like swayed by the trends. You can be confident in what you have and know that it's going to have legs and it's going to work for you for years. So, you know, if it's done right, you shouldn't have to change it.
Yeah. That's an interesting way of thinking about it. But that, yeah, it's not going with like, well, again, what is everybody else saying or doing or like, what is the trend? But like, what,
like
again,
beige, is aligned. Beige is super trendy right now.
Yeah.
It's like,
but like,
how
what is
bland
aligned?
and passive can we make our websites appear?
Right.
Not here for that trend.
Is there anything that you want to leave listeners with to kind of encourage them to kind of either begin this process or lean into it more?
I want your listeners to just remember that they are their biggest differentiators. Just like write that down. I am my biggest differentiator. And think about what that can truly mean for your business if you start showing up from that place. Instead of how you think you should be doing business.
Yeah. Well, we will have in the show notes a link to your website so that people can get that workbook.
Oh, good. Yeah.
As you're talking, I'm like, I think I need to go grab that myself. So I'll be heading over there shortly. But yeah, no, this has been just an amazing conversation, Shayna. And like, if people just take even just a small part away from this, they're going to get so much value from what you're doing and the work that you're doing. If people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, Instagram's the best place. That's my favorite place to hang out and chat in the DMs. My handle is at Dawn and Delight. And then my website is dawnanddelight.com.
Well, again, thank you so much for being here with me today. And
yes, thank you for having me.
I have a feeling we will hear from you again in the future.
Good. I would love that.
Yes. This has been a great conversation, but thank you so much. And we'll be chatting again in the future.
Okay. Thanks, Ashley.
Thank you so much for listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. Check the show notes for all links and resources mentioned in the show. If you found today's episode helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with your therapist friends. And don't forget to subscribe to the show and leave your 5-star rating and review. It truly means so much to me and will help us get our message of empowerment out to other women and mom clinicians. And I'd love to connect with you in our Facebook community. So check out the show notes for the link or head to bit.ly/raise to empower to join us. I'll see you back here next week.